Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is Dr. Oliver Medvedik. Our subject is anti-aging. He's ideally situated to tell us about that because he's one of the country's leading anti-aging researchers with a degree from Harvard in the subject of molecular biology. And he is also one of the lead investigators on a variety of anti-aging projects. So, Oliver, one of the projects of LEAF, I found quite fascinating. There's something called an age meter. Uh-huh. What's that about?
Right. Well, before I say that, that was very generous of you to say one of the leading researchers in aging. I wouldn't put myself definitely in that category, but thank you for that. I've done some aging research, but I could rattle off a number of researchers who I would definitely put into the leading aging researchers category.
Okay. Probably you could stand shoulder to shoulder, maybe with David Sinclair. I'm sure you're pretty sure you can hang with him.
He's my former PI. I could definitely share a beer with David. So the age meter. So that's a project that was launched from LEAF, and it was basically we helped crowdfund it, and Elliot Smalls is the lead investigator behind that project. And it essentially, is essentially a device to measure physiologic metrics that are biomarkers of aging. So this is something that people have been talking about for a long time, which is, and are doing research in, which is biomarkers of aging. And what that essentially means is some sort of measurement that allows you to objectively measure the rate or the biological age of an organism, and specifically we're talking about humans here. One metric that we use is our calendar date of our birth date, right? So when essentially we were born. So that's one very crude biomarker, but our chronological age doesn't necessarily reflect our biological age, because obviously one person who's 45 might be suffering from some sort of premature condition that maybe they are experiencing a more accelerated aging.
Right. A beautiful illustration of that was at my recent 50th high school reunion, where some people just weren't there. Okay, that says something right about their aging. And then there's a real disparity in the physical condition and medical conditions of and capacities of the people who were there in their late 60s, which for some people, they can be exceedingly vigorous and active and productive, and other people are pretty hamstrung.
Yep. And really that's a reflection of your body's capacity to essentially repair itself, both due to internal onslaughts of the aging process, which is basically just a manifestation of our metabolism, and external effects of whatever is in the environment, smoking for example, or any other toxins that you take in. So it's your body's repair capacity, and some people, like we mentioned earlier in the podcast, super centenarians have an enhanced ability to enact this type of repair.
Perhaps also the immune system. There's immune senescence too, because that leads you vulnerable to cancer and infectious diseases, right?
Exactly. So it's all tied together. So the, you know, so there's, there, people are looking at different, biomarkers of aging. So in essence, can you, look at a certain metric and say, well, this person here, even though their birth date says that they're, you know, 65, this biomarker suggests that they are more typical of the average 50-year-old, right? And so there's certain biomarkers are very molecular. One example is the epigenetic status of your genome. So that's basically
Which now can be measured. There are actually commercial outfits now that will give you a readout on your epigenetic. It's based on methylation, I think. Methylation status.
Yes, methylation status at different. So basically, you know, the in a nutshell, for human beings, the epigenetic status, the methylation status, these little, you know, methyl groups that get attached to your regions of your genome, they determine what cell is, you know, how which cell becomes which cell. So, example, you know, the methylation status will determine whether a cell is a neuron or whether it's a epithelial skin cell. Mm-hmm. And that methylation status basically gets changes, you know, lack of a better word, it gets screwed up over time. The more it changes, the more radically it changes, the more it is, you know, reflective of the aging process. So if you have a methylation status that is more robust and resilient, meaning your cells are in the state that they're supposed to be in, you know, then you basically are at a younger state, essentially. Mm-hmm. So we can take a look at the methylation status and the Horvath clock. So Dr. Horvath basically, you know, pioneered one aspect of this research, can tell you, you know, where you fall in as far as a certain, you know, a category of, you know, during, you know, in the spectrum of aging. Another biomarker would be, which is much more simpler, in my opinion, more robust, which is what most people probably care more about, is your physiologic responses. I mean, mm-hmm. your methylation status, you know, is good at the molecular level, but, you know, what you really want to know is, I mean, obviously, if you're essentially going to slow down the aging process, you want to feel it, right? So you also want to be able to say, well, I can run faster, I can breathe better, and I feel better. And the age meter basically looks at physiologic parameters such as respiration. It looks at essentially reflex action. Looks at response time to, you know, to auditory signals, that mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Which also involves the brain, you know, not just the lungs and the muscles, but uh-huh. Also obviously your ability to process data, your memory, and so on.
Yeah. So you know, it's all you know, even though it's now known that different organs could age at different rates, a lot of the, you know, it's, we're coming to the understanding that a lot of the fundamental things that can go wrong, pathway-wise, at the molecular level, basically, you know, are very similar from different cell type to different cell type. So certain metrics, such as your gait, basically how fast you can walk, for example, turns out that that's an excellent determinant for, you know, how likely you're going to be susceptible to diseases of aging. You know, and so what the age meter
does, if you're a New Yorker, you're probably ahead of the game because everybody walks really fast here, you know, compared to somebody maybe in Kansas City.
Perhaps.
We're fast walkers.
Yeah, perhaps. Although, you know, in the subway, there's a lot of the slow walkers definitely clog up the subways here. But maybe they're not from New York City. I don't know.
Tourists.
Tourists, exactly. But so the age meter is essentially a tablet version of a device that was in development back in the 1990s that used a PC to essentially kind of measure all of these responses and come up with a number that basically correlates with your biologic age versus your chronologic age.
And they've really brought the cost down since the 1990s. It was like, you know, like tens and tens of thousands of dollars for this thing. And now through, you know, development of tech, they've really made it much more economical, right?
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's because, you know, it you know, all of, you know, technology and economics, all of this basically, you know, goes hand in hand. I mean, you know, you wouldn't be able to do this so cheaply back in the 1990s or mid 80s because not everybody had a desktop PC and it was very cumbersome. But now everybody essentially, you know, I mean, it's almost cliche to say that everybody has a supercomputer in their pockets, which they essentially do, and even more powerful because it's all networked, so you can do a lot with that information. So the whole point of having these types of biomarker readouts is really the key here is to help speed up research into interventions that might have an effect, because one classic way of determining whether or not an intervention works is, did it make you live longer, right? But you would have to wait many years for such a trial to get the information out to you. However, if you're really tackling the root causes of aging, then you should see an improvement in a lot of these physiologic parameters and even some of these molecular parameters like the methylation status. You should see a reversion back to a more youthful state. And those types of biomarkers, they can be measured much more rapidly and let you know whether or not you're on the right track with an intervention.
Now, is the age meter available commercially, or is it available at like anti-aging centers and clinics?
It is available commercially. I think you'd have to go onto their website right now, and I think it's agemeter.com. I might be wrong with that, but it's
just Google it. Yeah.
Yeah, so they are selling the meter. They are, they are enlisting, I think, medical doctors and trying to get it adopted in certain clinical trials. And, I'd have to ask those guys to see what stage they're at with some of their trials.
What about telomeres? Because that's a lot of people are getting their telomeres checked. Or, you can go on the internet and you can purchase telomere lengthening supplements. What's up with that?
To be honest, I'll be truthful. I don't know. I know they're the big proponent of, so I know that there's research that's been published, especially from, Elizabeth Blackburn's lab, who, Elizabeth Blackburn, for people who don't know, she's a Nobel laureate who was one of the, discoverers of basically, telomerase and not only that, but also her lab and Carol Greider and others have basically, they really nailed it back, a little over 20 years ago now, basically how telomeres get extended, really figuring the mechanisms out. And I think some of the research, and it's been a while since I read the papers, but has shown that telomere length is malleable as well, that telomere lengths can be extended. Now, what telomeres are essentially, the ends of chromosomes, and every time a cell divides, if it doesn't have a way to replicate the ends of chromosomes, essentially, the DNA gets lost. It basically shrinks, and when it gets down to a certain point, it's seen as damaged DNA by the cell, and the cell can either enter senescence, which now leads to a senescent burden of cells in your body, or it could be cleared out of the body through apoptosis, meaning the cell basically commits suicide and it's cleared out by macrophages in the body, and telomeres are crucial. Having cells that maintain their telomeres is crucial to maintaining, enough stem cells in your body. So there is evidence suggesting that, that telomere ends, can be re-extended, that you can certainly certain negative interventions can cause telomere ends to, more rapidly shrink. Now, as far as supplements to re-extend telomeres, I'm not the expert on that, so I'm really going to hold off on recommending pro or con in that direction.
And that is, it's a speculative realm, but there is some promising information, I guess, that certain supplements can help. But also, it's really also about lifestyle. It's about exercise to some extent. It's about adequate sleep. I mean, those clearly, I think, more fundamentally, have an impact on telomere preservation,
right? And certain things like adequate sleep. I mean, certainly, research has now come about, suggesting as to why sleep is necessary. I mean, people have been known for a long time that sleep deprivation is highly toxic to organisms. I think rats, experiments done years and years ago, if rats were sleep deprived for a long period of time, they basically drop dead. And the question was, well, why is it so necessary? And it turns out that, sleep is one of these periods of time in your body where your brain is essentially clearing toxins and other waste products out. So if you don't get enough sleep, or if you have an issue, or if there's some other problems where these damaged proteins can't be removed, then you will have huge problems as far as neurotoxicity is concerned.
Is stem cells part of the remit of LEAF, Life Extension Advocacy Foundation? Are they doing research on regenerating organs or rejuvenating the body with stem cells?
Yeah, well, we aren't ourselves, because we merely fund the research. We provide we basically connect the donors with research. But a lot of laboratories and some of the labs that certainly a lot of the organizations we funded are definitely working on stem cell research. So, you know, for example, I guess just to kind of paint it in broad strokes, I mean, one issue with aging as far as somatic cells in your body are concerned, which is basically the cells that most of us care about, right, which are the cells that, which are the adult cells in our body. I mean, one of the issues with getting older is that not only do those cells go bad over time, but when it comes to stem cells, there's less and less of them, potentially. So, it's not just a matter of clearing out the bad cells or figuring out a way to prevent damage from accumulating, but the cells that essentially are the ones that are replicating in your body to regenerate tissues, if those are going away, then you at some point need to replenish those. Otherwise, there won't be enough cell turnover and your body can't maintain itself, which is homeostasis. And, your organs will fail at that point. Mm-hmm.
Game over. I'm just curious, you yourself, you're in the midst of all this research, you have access to all these wonderful research papers, you keep up with the literature. What are you doing personally on the anti-aging front? Are you a biohacker, working on self-improvement?
No, I'm probably the way at the other end of the spectrum. I know there's a lot of people that are intensely into.
So you gave it the office. I mean, you're so immersed in this that at the end of the day, you probably just want to, go home and watch Hulu or something.
Well, I mean, there's a lot more that I could be doing. There's a lot of people that are in the quantify self movement. Just psychologically, I'm probably not that kind of individual who can meticulously keep track and have a diary as to every single gram of everything that I've eaten all day and basically keep track of things. There's certain things that I periodically do. It's certainly foods that are rich in turmeric. I've been looking at certain supplements such as curcumins, for example, things that are anti-inflammatory compounds. But I haven't personally not other than everything that I've mentioned right now, which is, eat right and mm-hmm. eat less and maintain an active lifestyle and avoid putting toxins into your body. I mean, that's really those four things. I mean, mm-hmm. if you do those four things, you'll go a long way. And also, there's strong evidence to suggest keep your mind active as much as possible. Do things that are very complex. If you don't know a second language, try to pick one up. If you don't know how to crossword puzzles aren't enough. If you don't know how to play a musical instrument, well, pick it up and learn the pentatonic scale or do something, right? That's going to stretch your mind a bit and basically give you some cognitive reserves. So basically, if you do all of those things, that's really more than what most people are doing, it's not so much, I think, knowing what to do. It's really figuring out how to make room in your lifestyle to do all of these things, how to basically motivate yourself. And because all these things I've mentioned, a lot of these things we've known about for a long time. And really the things that we're learning about right now is how these things are very effective. Now, I think really the critical component is how do we build a society where people really are encouraged to sort of do these things. Because I think there was some poll that was taken that wasn't related to aging, but it was related to blood sugar levels. And it was some sort of, it was some sort of appalling statistic where essentially it was something like, most of the people that were polled, like some, it was something off the charts, like 95% of the people knew what they had to do to basically lower their blood sugar levels, but only like 6% were actually doing it. So it's not a matter of not knowing what to do. It's really a matter of how do you motivate
the gap between the knowledge and the implementation, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I noticed that, you know, one of the projects that Leaf is involved with is evaluating, nicotinamide, let's see if I get this right, mononucleotide, NMN, which is, you know, kind of the kissing cousin of nicotinamide riboside. A lot of research on those compounds as support for the mitochondria. There's the mitochondrial theory of aging, is that as your mitochondria deteriorate, so goes your bodily systems. What's up with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that boosting precursors of, so basically all of these things feed into all of these, you know, NMN, nicotinamide riboside, a lot of these compounds, or those in particular, are precursors to nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, which is NAD. So it, essentially, in a nutshell, these molecules might sound like gibberish to most people, but they basically, you know, they're essentially the critical molecules that are required to maintain metabolism in every cell in your body. So essentially they move electrons around. And they essentially, you know, your body generates ATP, which is your primary energy currency. And without NAD and NADH, without shuttling these electrons around, your body can't generate the energy that's required to basically to run everything that's required in your cells. And mitochondria are really where, you know, most of this ATP is generated. And your NAD levels, they decline as we age. So there's a lot of evidence suggesting that if we, you know, improve the NAD levels by putting in these precursor compounds, you can basically optimize the efficiency of ATP production. So optimize the efficiency of mitochondrial function. And then as a consequence, in kind of one shot, improve, you know, the metabolic efficiency of every cell of your body and all of the pathways that are required to basically slow down the aging process, which are essentially longevity maintenance pathways. So any basically pathways that are required to repair the body. You know, your body is now more effective at doing that. So if your immune system gets better, your body's DNA repair mechanisms get better, so on and so forth. So it's sort of a nexus for a lot of this to happen. So by basically getting at the root level, so to speak, and, you know, increasing the level of NAD by adding in these precursor compounds, you can thereby increase the metabolic efficiency of your cells. And there's a lot of evidence to suggest that that indeed is very effective. So like I said, these, you know, by maintaining a proper diet and exercise and all of that, yes, you can improve your NAD levels, but you can also, you know, as we age, you can also give the body a kickstart by adding in these supplements to basically exogenously topping off, if you will, you know, components that kind of start to decline as we age.
And there's also a new emphasis on the microbiome as being a mediator of some degenerative processes. And they're now linking the mitochondria the microbiome to degenerative diseases like Parkinson's disease, yeah, and Alzheimer's disease, and, you know, could unlocking the secrets of the microbiome and harnessing the microbiome, could that be at least one plausible pathway to life extension?
Yeah, I mean, all of this is very interlocked, and it's sort of hard for me to figure out where the causation and correlation, you know, basically fits in, because obviously you need a healthy gut to maintain a healthy microbiome, but you need a healthy microbiome to maintain a healthy gut, right? So your microbiome, I mean, we're still trying to figure out everything that your microbiome does, but, you know, I mean, not only is it required to essentially fend off any infectious agents that might basically come through your gut, but it's also there to synthesize vitamins and other necessary, you know, compounds that your body needs to maintain its healthy metabolism. So having a healthy gut microbiome is clearly important. My question is, you know, the two both go together, right? I mean, you also need to maintain a healthy gut, which you know, declines as we age, you know, mm-hmm. to maintain your healthy microbiome. So there's a lot of, you know, at the root cause, there's a lot of fundamental similarities, but when you start kind of moving up and down on the scale, you know, things at some level might appear to be very complex, and at one level they might end up being very simple. It just depends on where we go on the scale, up and down. So all of these things are very critical, but they, you know, they basically, you know, fundamentally, I think it all comes down to optimizing the metabolic efficiency of your cells.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a very illuminating discussion, and as obviously we just touched on the surface of anti-aging and life extension research, but you can find out more by going to the website of Life Extension Advocacy Foundation there at leafscience.org. And what are some of the resources that people can find there?
Oh, well, like I mentioned previously, if you go there, not only will you find our blog, which is very up to date. So we're basically, any, you know, the latest research, you know, that you want to basically get a summary on in the field of aging research and diseases of aging, you can check it out on our blog. If you want to do a much more deep dive, at the end, usually the last Tuesday of every month, so that's coming up this month, we pick a journal article, and we usually blog about it beforehand, and then we do a much more deeper dive, and occasionally we have guest speakers from the journal article itself hop on. So we have that on offer. We also have campaigns that we, you know, that you can check out on lifespan.io. I think I accidentally said lifespan.org, but it's lifespan.io. Where we basically, you know, if you really want to put your money where your mouth is, you can certainly fund a research project, mm-hmm. donate some money, and then see how that project, you know, see where it goes. And there's links also to a number of YouTube channels that we've collaborated with, where essentially if you just want to see a very nice summary, a nice kind of a cartoon exposition of aging research and a nice summary of where we've you know, how far we've gotten in research, there's certainly, you know, you can click on a YouTube channel that we have links to on our website, and you can just kind of sit back and kind of enjoy that.
Well, great. I mean, I really applaud your research, and also, you know, that you take a very balanced view of, you know, all the factors that go into life extension, which is, I think, really, you know, ultimately going to lead us to answers that may be more complex than a quick fix. You know, clearly research is proceeding apace, and there's major interest from pharmaceutical companies to mm-hmm. unlock the secrets of aging. And, you know, maybe we'll have plausible strategies in the next decade or two. That'll help us avoid degenerative disease, but also really attack fundamentally the process of aging itself.
Yeah, I think it's not going to be one, you know, there's not going to be one magic bullet, but I think there's going to be an accumulation of therapies and therapeutics and lifestyle interventions that bit by bit are going to kind of fit in and, you know, essentially support one another and enable, hopefully, all of us to essentially, you know, be able to run marathons when we're in our 90s and 100s, and who knows, maybe, you know, leapfrog from there and have bicentenarian marathons at some point.
That's an awesome vision. Thank you very much, Dr. Oliver Medvedik. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The website is leafscience.org, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For decades, I've been preaching about the importance of a regimen of basic supplements that everyone should consider part of their daily health routine. So I came up with an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The very same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com and check out my Intelligent Medicine Starter Kit. It's a short list of the basic supplements that I recommend as a starting point for those looking to take control of their health. They're the essential elements of a basic program that everyone could benefit from. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.